This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. I am Alan Gervey, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here, right here at the studios of Talk Radio 790 KBC to be the managing partner of your life. And at this time, I'd love to introduce to you my co-host, Kerry Kasem. But unfortunately, Kerry is not with us once again today. She did call just before the show went on so she could wish my co-host today lots of luck and lots of success. Mom, wasn't that nice of Kerry?
Yes, it really was.
Look at this. People are standing. The applause is deafening. Yes, it's Evelyn Gervey. She's back here at Gervey's Law. It's Gervey and Gervey. We're talking law, and today we're going to talk sports and sports agency and everything that you get excited about, Mom, don't you?
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, sports.
Sports?
Sports, football.
We're going to talk football, and we're going to talk the business side of sports, too. But first of all, before we get to that and before we introduce our guest for today, I do want to talk a little bit about your visit here. You've been visiting from Toronto. Last week, of course, you were on air with me as a co-host when we had John Henry Brown, the lawyer for Ted Bundy Jr. and a number of other villains. And that was a fun experience. But you've had other fun experiences while you're here in L.A., haven't you?
Oh, I sure have, and I've enjoyed my whole week.
And yeah, and you're going back on Tuesday.
I'm going back Tuesday, yes.
So Kerry will get her job back?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes, for
we'll
sure.
See. But, you know, people have been writing in. We saw on Facebook and Twitter, everyone saying that you're doing such a great job that you should have your own show.
Oh, that's a good thought, maybe.
Maybe
I will.
It sounds good. So you had some fun this week. You went to a gymnastics class, Hudson and Harper, two little kids, and you ended up entertaining folks there.
Yes, I met Tori.
Tori, you're on first name basis with her.
Tori and Dean.
Tori and Dean. So what happens, folks? I'm watching my kids doing some balance beam work and rings and everything, and I look in the corner, and my mom is standing in front of Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott, talking with her arms, lecturing them, entertaining them. What the heck were you talking to those folks about?
Well, I went up and said I enjoyed their TV show, Tori and Dean, this old house that they're renovating.
So was that truthful, or you just said that?
No, it's true. I watch it. And then, I said to Dean that I was living in Toronto, and he's from Toronto.
He is from Toronto.
We discussed the traffic in Toronto and Bathurst Street, where I live.
And what about talking about that Canadian show, Chopped,
Chopped
cooking
Canada.
Show? He's the host of it.
Yeah, he is. And I watched that, and it's very interesting, and
so
a good job.
Did he say he wanted to go out for a beer or something afterward?
I said, I don't drink beer.
What did he say?
Oh, well, we'll make it another time. We could have coffee.
Coffee.
But then, yeah.
So
they
were very nice to you, both
they
of them.
They were. We talked, and their kids were around
there. Yeah, the kids were running around.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting. And tonight,
yeah, it was nice.
Tonight you're going to have another exciting evening. You're going to the Hollywood Bowl.
Right.
And you're going to see your friend there. Now, you have a long-lost friend who's performing at the Hollywood Bowl. It's Boy George Culture Club?
No, it's the conductor
Symphony,
Bramwell Tovey, who used to conduct the Winnipeg Symphony. And I'm with the women's with the women's committee of the symphony, and
you hung out with Bramwell Tovey.
We didn't hang out that much. Yeah, but he was there, and his wife, and he has a little boy who I'm sure is quite big now.
Yeah, so that was years ago. Now he's a big success, and the Hollywood Bowl is featuring Culture Club, Boy George. Are you excited?
Not really.
Why? Boy George, you know, do you really want to hurt me?
Chameleon? Okay.
That guy. Yeah.
I thought you were asking me if I really wanted to hurt you.
No, that's his song. That is a song that we might hear tonight when we're there.
I'm looking forward to it.
So
yes.
you were looking forward also to today's show because we had tweeted out that we were going to be having professional football players Jeff and Mitch Schwartz on. They had just written a book, Eat My Schwartz. Jeff plays for the Detroit Lions now, just signed a contract with them, and Mitch plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you were excited because you read their book in anticipation of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what Jeff kind of miscalculated was the time difference, and he's getting ready to get on the field tonight in a preseason game against Baltimore. And he couldn't make it, so he had to cancel. And as it happens, Mitch is also playing tonight in a preseason game. So you read that book for nothing?
Well, it was interesting, and they have some good recipes at the end of the book.
So
they're cooks.
They're cooks. and the book is about family, faith, and football. And I'm reading the first recipe at the end of the book, and it hasn't been released yet. And we'll have them on the show. They will come back. They felt badly that they miscalculated and actually had to play a game tonight rather than being on Gervie's Law. The first recipe is Grandma's Hanukkah Latkes. They're Jewish?
Yes, they celebrated Hanukkah with the latkes.
Wow.
And
But Jewish guys, they don't play football. They're agents. They're like Lee Steinberg, the greatest agent in the world.
That's true. I think their mothers wouldn't let them play when they were young.
Really?
Like when you went to play football and I sat there with my hands over my face.
Right.
And your brother, too, Martin.
Fortunately, I never had a serious injury. I was quarterback of my high school team at Grant Park, and Martin, my brother, did have a serious injury.
Yeah.
I remember going to the hospital.
I sat there as they carried him off the field, and we went straight to the hospital.
Yeah, and he was in his – I still remember he was in his jersey. They had to cut it off him.
Yeah, it was his arm or something.
Yeah, well, he was a running back, and he put his arm down to try and stay up when he was being tackled, and he got schmiced.
Anyways, he's okay.
You know, the funny thing, though, is that these guys are huge. Your sons, Martin and Alan, me, are not big. The Schwartzes are huge.
I know they are. I saw the pictures.
And they still have a very strong faith in Judaism, which you don't see a lot of players, and family, a sense of family.
Right.
And we will have them on the show. The book is called Eat My Schwartz, and I'm glad you read it. When we have them on the show, perhaps you could call in. You could fly back in.
You could send for me.
Or you could simply just call in and say,
true.
I want to talk to you about this.
That's a good idea.
Because, you know, that's something that is of interest. You have two boys. Obviously, we did not make it to the NFL.
Not quite.
But you enjoyed watching sports.
Oh, I watched every game. I watched everything.
You remember when you used to get up at 5 in the morning and take me to hockey practice?
Yes, usually your father did it more than I did.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I thought it was you. Yeah, it's true.
Yes,
it was my dad. So we're going to talk today to Lee Steinberg. And Lee Steinberg is known as the greatest sports agent in history, at least according to Forbes. He's written a book called The Agent, My 40-Year Career Making Deals and Changing the Game. And what's interesting with Lee Steinberg is he has been down and out. He was at the pinnacle. He had reached the top, representing over 300 athletes, 60 first-round picks in the NFL. And then he suffered alcoholism, bankruptcy, lost his business, and he has clawed his way back. It's a very, very interesting story. You know, Mom, how do you think someone like this can get back on his horse after he's fallen off and to such a horrible degree?
Well, maybe with help from friends, parents, people who care, who help you get back on the horse, as you say, and his own will to try again, which we all have to. If you fall down, you have to get up again.
But he had so much money, and he lost it all. How does that happen?
I don't know.
I wish I had that. You wish you had the money. You would have kept it.
Yes, I think so.
You wouldn't have drank it away or whatever, but we're going to find out.
Who knows?
It's an incredible story. He's an open book, and we're going to learn a lot about Lee Steinberg. Mom, it's great having you here, co-hosting Gervie's Law, and we are going to talk to Lee Steinberg right after this. You're listening to Alan Gervie right here on Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100 plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'll tell you, when I was a little kid, I really loved sports. And I am so excited to talk to Lee Steinberg, because it was during a period of time when I was growing up and some of these players were getting these huge contracts. Lee Steinberg started out representing Steve Bartkowski, who he had gone to school at Cal with. He was the lawyer graduating, young guy, and all of a sudden he had what was to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. That just doesn't happen. And I have my mom here, Evelyn Gervey, and did you ever think that I was going to be a number one draft pick?
No.
How about...
Not even number two.
How about if I was going to be a lawyer, a sports agent? No?
No, I thought you were going to be a movie star.
A movie star. You know, it's funny because I do remember yeah. that story. I was sitting with my mom and dad. We were watching Perry Mason. My dad used to really love Perry Mason. And I sat there. I was a little kid. And I said, you know, Mom, Dad, I really want to be that guy. And my mom and dad looked and said, oh, you want to be a lawyer, do you? And I said, no, I want to be the actor who is playing the lawyer. And unfortunately, that didn't work out. I did go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, but ended up being a lawyer. And so when I was young, I really wanted, I think, to be involved in sports. And Lee Steinberg has made it happen. He is someone who really rose to the top. Just a few of his statistics. He's had the number one pick in the NFL draft 8 times. He had 60 first round picks. He's had over 300 athletes who he's represented. But it goes way beyond just representing athletes. He has done a lot of philanthropic causes. He's helped his clients. You know, there's a story that he would send a book about a cause to his clients to get them involved. He's been a best-selling author. He wrote a book in 1999 called With Integrity, Getting What You Want Without Selling Your Soul. And now he's come up with this new book, which is a couple years old now, but it's just fascinating, called The Agent, My 40-Year Career, Making Deals and Changing the Game. And in it, it's kind of an expose. What happens is you're reading about Lee Steinberg. You're reading about the inspiration for Jerry Maguire, and we'll talk to Lee about that because there are some, you know, controversies. Some people say it was Drew Rosenhaus, another agent. Some people said it was an amalgamation of a number of characters. But Lee was there. He was with Cameron Crowe. They were consulting on it. So we can talk to him about that. But what you find out in the book, The Agent, is his life drinking, falling into the abyss with alcohol, bankruptcies, losing his business, and a number of other really earth-shattering events in his life. Lee Steinberg, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
So, Lee, we're talking about the book, The Agent, and it is a fascinating read. When I read it, I had known a lot about you in terms of the glitz and in terms of representing all of these amazing athletic heroes. Didn't really realize the problems that you've had in your life. Why did you decide to open yourself up and to let everyone know about your demons and how you have made it back to where you are now?
Well, I really had a very charmed life growing up in Los Angeles with a father, a grandfather who ran Hillcrest Country Club and sitting on the laps of Marilyn Monroe and George Burns, and then going up and being sued by the president of Berkeley. And then really, at the time I started representing athletes, there was no organized field. And we did it all really with two purposes. One was to try and make an impact in the world, and second, to enhance athletes in a holistic way. In the 2000s, I started to struggle with alcohol and gave my practice away for a while, put sobriety first, being a good father first, and that aspect of it I wanted to share only because I know there are people out there who are struggling, hopeless, and maybe offer them a path where they understand that by being resilient, by working a 12-step program, they could get their life back also.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in the book, you mentioned that there have been critics of yours. And in fact, you say in the book that some of your critics say that you crave publicity and don't care about your clients. Have you heard people say you wrote this book for publicity purposes, even though you are saying, and you know, you have a lot to back it up with, that you're trying to do good and you've always tried to do good, notwithstanding your own demons?
You know, the reality of the situation is that when you encourage athletes to be role models, they could do it quietly. But what it is that triggers imitative behavior, them writing a check garners a couple thousand dollars for charity. Them being associated with it can move mountains. And we don't really have a choice because sports and entertainment are so public. Our negotiations are covered publicly. And so.
But back in the day, in the Steve Bartkowski days, when you represented him right out of law school, that wasn't really the role of the agent. The agent was kind of in the background. You were the one that brought the agent to the forefront. You brought your clients to the forefront, realizing that they were role models, and there were certain things that people were going to think about them in accordance with how they behaved. That never existed before you.
Well, I was brought up by a dad who had two core values. One was to treasure relationships, especially family, and the second was to try to make a meaningful difference in the world and help people who couldn't help themselves. So I fell into sports agency, but I saw that athletes could trigger positive behavior, that a Lennox Lewis heavyweight boxer could cut a public service announcement that said real men don't hit women. Our field plays out in a very public way, and the whole emergence of sports and entertainment in a celebrity-driven society, when I do the work with athletes, they are center stage. But I also have other goals, you know, working on an anti-bullying initiative, working responsibility to keep sports healthy, and also has a responsibility to try to make a difference in the world. We're not here that long. And so over these past 42 years, there's just been an explosion. Television exploded. The Internet exploded. Stadium arena exploded. So we're now looking at a landscape where the National Football League is not only the most popular sport, it's the most popular entertainment source. Five of the top 10 top-rated Nielsen shows are nighttime NFL football.
You know, Lee, it's interesting because in the book, The Agent, you talk about your father. You talk about just what you said about the influence he had on you and how he set you in the right direction. You don't talk a lot about your mom, although you do say she was a librarian. And you talk about her checking out 3 to 4 times a month, not being present. How did that play on your emotions, and how did you work through that, given you had the philosophy from your father and then your mother, who had some issues, apparently, that bothered you?
Oh, it sort of sent me in the world into a world of high achievement. My mother was a warm and loving mother, still is, and the fact that she had her own struggles, was nothing extraordinary. She taught me the love of books, real enthusiasm for movies, also had a real social conscience. So I had a very strong upbringing, and and it's been an interesting life. I mean, to be student life president of Berkeley when Ronald Reagan was governor, and incidentally, everything I ever needed to learn about negotiating, I learned from interacting with Reagan when we were in the midst of anti-war demonstrations.
Right,
and
right.
The governor cracking down on those unruly demonstrators.
It's interesting because you talk about non-confrontational negotiation, and those of us who are lawyers and are negotiating all the time, sometimes it seems that it's not possible to have non-confrontational negotiation. But your book, Winning and Integrity, Getting What You Can, What You Want Without Selling Your Soul, is a really interesting read in that regard. We're going to talk more about NFL contracts, about recruiting, agents recruiting. We're going to talk about some of the strange things going on in the world today, like Colin Kaepernick sitting down during the national anthem. We're talking to Lee Steinberg, who Forbes called the greatest sports agent in history. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Mortgage rates are pushing all-time lows. One after another, our clients are locking 30-year rates in the threes, 15s in the twos, and in many cases, we're paying the closing costs. I'm Dan Smith with Private Plus Mortgage. Our clients are saving hundreds each month, thousands each year. That's because my team does the work to show you options that save you the most money. So lower your payments, get cash to remodel that kitchen, pay off credit cards, or pay off that mortgage sooner. Even if you've refied in the last 3 years, now's the time to get your all-time low and save the money you deserve. Call Private Plus Mortgage today, 888-220-6200. Refi or purchase, 888-220-6200. Private Plus Mortgage.
Private Bank of Buckhead, 3 Piedmont Center, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Actual terms may vary. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, and MLS number 758195. Call toll-free for credit costs and terms.
Switching to the CVS pharmacy at Target can make life a little easier. We'll fill your prescriptions while you shop, then text you when they're ready. Using the CVS pharmacy app, you can pick up prescriptions fast. Just scan, grab, and go. Plus, you can order refills with just a tap. Moving your prescriptions to the CVS pharmacy at Target only takes a few minutes, so go ahead, switch to Easy. Visit a CVS pharmacist at Target today.
Wood look tile shouldn't be one look tile. That's why at the Home Depot, you get a whole selection. And new Montagna 4x28-inch planks start at just $269 a square foot. Longer lengths, narrower widths, and more natural colors mean you can create striking wood look patterns in any room in your house, even ones where you'd never put real wood. Montagna wood look tile and new 4x28-inch planks, starting at $269 a square foot, exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervie. I love that music. I'm getting pumped. I feel like I want to go out in the field and throw a few touchdowns. We're talking to Lee Steinberg today. He wrote the book on agency. He is the agent. And Lee, before the break, you were detailing a lot of background about how you became who you were, who you are. And let's talk a little bit about what happened, because in 1983, you were named Cosmopolitan's Bachelor of the Year. Your wedding to the former Cal homecoming queen was featured on Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous. You were throwing Super Bowl parties that were just incredibly famous, and a who's who of actors and musicians and football players and other athletes were there. Then things start to unravel, and it seems that you had built up this company with Jeff Murad and David Dunn, and then you lost it. How did that all go down? You sold the company to Asante back in 1999. And Asante, by the way, I'm from Winnipeg. Asante was established in Winnipeg by a boyhood friend of mine, Marty Summer. And you sold the company. What happened?
Well, first of all, you're describing this glamorous lifestyle, but I always bifurcated being a good person down to earth with what happened in public. So that's a very different life, and I don't confuse that with reality. Newspaper clippings don't take away the need to be a good human being.
Right.
So we sold the firm. They lost the interest. The group that bought really expanding into American sports, that created some dissatisfaction.
But Lee, weren't they just involved in wealth management? Because I remember Asante, and you were representing all these players, and
what happened in those days was that you had merger rooms where many groups were trying to combine different agencies in baseball, football, basketball, and the goal was ultimately to merge them together and have them do a lot of marketing and a lot of content supply. And so as we endeavored to do that, they lost interest. And that created unhappiness within the company.
Right.
But I went on. I bought my football practice back. And then in the 2000s...
Well, but before you did, there was an issue about the clients. And then there was that lawsuit with David Dunn for poaching.
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind you in case you forgot.
Yeah, it was 16 years ago. So what happened was that a group of younger agents decided to open their own firm, which happens all the time.
Absolutely.
And it turned a little bit contentious. And so they went ahead and formed their own firm. There were 90 football players. Some of whom left. There were 60 baseball players, all of whom stayed. There were basketball players who stayed. We went ahead and then I decided that probably the worst mistake I ever made was giving up autonomy, because I was able to run a business the way I wanted to with a real charitable bent.
Right.
And you don't know what you lose until it's gone. So,
Do you think that the younger guys that were coming in who didn't go through what you did didn't have the same values as you did? They weren't looking at the philanthropy and helping the players out. They were just looking at making a buck?
You know, I don't want to mischaracterize their motivations, but we tried to run a firm in which people understood ultimately that the only product we were producing was stimulating the best values and planning for a second career and young athletes, and then whatever community and charitable programs we did, the high school scholarship funds, the collegiate repayments like Troy Aikman's to UCLA, and the charitable foundations. And that's really where we were making impact. And yes, there's a generational shift in some of that. You know, I come out of the 60s generation, but whatever it was, they had the right to go have their own future. And so I went on, bought the football practice back. We went on, had clients like Ben Roethlisberger. And then in the 2000s, nothing in business. It was a series of personal reverses that happened with the death of my father and some other illnesses in the family and losing a home and then finally a divorce. And I turned the wrong direction, which was alcohol.
But before that all happened, you were one of the first people talking about head injuries in the NFL. You were worried about your clients and others, and you talked about the concussions and the effects of them way back, probably 15, 20 years ago when no one was talking about it. Why were you so concerned, and how did you get involved in that movement?
I would watch clients like Troy Aikman when they get knocked to the ground and one game blood was coming out of his ear and he's not moving and it's the illusion that like he's dying. And I knew something intuitively was wrong with getting hit in the head, but no one talked about it. So we held a concussion conference in 1994 and brought the leading neurologists around. And I knew that athletes were in denial, and they would play under all situations, that they, from Pop Warner and Little League, accepted a set of norms that said real men play in all situations, long-term health and abstraction. So we issued a white paper taking blocking and tackling out of the game, neurologists on the sideline, helmetry research, gave it to every team, and virtually nothing changed. In 2006, did it again with Warren Moon, the Concussion Institute, and then the neurologist had the goods, which were that three or more occasion exponentially higher rate of Alzheimer's, premature senility, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and depression. So I called it a ticking time bomb and an undiagnosed health epidemic. Well, you know, at that time I'm representing half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't want to make a living putting dollar after dollar in the bank book of clients who I'm sending down the road potentially to dementia. I don't think that's the right fiduciary responsibility. So we've continued to push and to try to find a solution. The real danger today is the subconcussive hit. It's the fact that every time linemen hit linemen, it produces a low-level subconcussive hit. So you could have an offensive lineman walk out of the game, 10,000 of them, none have been diagnosed, none of them he's aware of, but the aggregate almost certainly does the same thing as getting knocked out three times. So when you come to a point where you have a fiduciary responsibility to clients more than just financial, Right. Then you have to move.
And, of course, they were becoming your friends, too. I mean, you talk in the book about Warren Moon, who writes the foreword in The Agent, and he was such a close friend. He was there for you, and I'm sure a lot of other players were there for you in your down times, so you cared about them.
So this is the type of law where it's very personal, and you have personal relationships, and you get to know people. I was in the weddings of a number of players. They were in mine. Warren Moon and I, who's another Hamilton High grad, basically grew up together for 23 years that
Right.
we played professional football. So,
in the CFL and NFL.
And the relationships get so close. So whether it's an Aikman and Roethlisberger, whatever, and now with our new generation, we have Paxton Lynch of the Denver Broncos. This is a very personal type of law. You're focusing someone on their hopes and dreams. You're getting to know their deepest anxieties and fears, and you're trying to focus them on second career. So it's not just doing a transaction. It's helping to mentor them
Right.
As they go through life.
Now, did you see the movie Concussion? I guess that's a silly question. You obviously did. What did you think of it?
You know, I know Ben Adamalu. I talked with the director. I didn't play a consulting role in that. I didn't do what I did in Jerry Maguire and Any Given Sunday. But I thought it was a powerful piece. Some people wanted it to be even heavier on Concussion, but it really was the story of Ben Adamalu, and part of it was a love story.
Right, and Will Smith played him, of course. Now, you're talking about being a consultant on films. People sought after you for the films they were making. Cameron Crowe, for instance. Now, is it true that he asked you to introduce him to Tim McDonald so that he could spend some time with your client, Tim McDonald, and learn a little bit about what someone was going through when they were facing a new contract?
Well, basically what he asked is if he could shadow me and follow me around and go everywhere I went, so he could pick up atmosphere for a film that would feature a sports agent. So he went to the 1993 draft. He went to the league meetings in 1993 for a week. He came to a press conference I gave. He came to Pro Scouting Day at SC. He came to a couple Super Bowl parties. He came to the Super Bowl. He came to a series of games with me, and he spent a lot of time in my office, and I told him, stories, lots and lots of stories. And then I had the script of that, and to make sure the willing suspension of disbelief that keeps you in a motion picture wasn't broken. Your question about Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire is Cameron Crowe's brilliant creation. If you ask me, was some of it based on time he spent with me? You know, I agreed to keep that together with Cameron, but we spent, you know, a year and a half researching on the film, and I told him millions and millions of stories. For anyone that he used to say, Jerry Maguire aspires to be Lee Steinberg. So it's not autobiographical, but there's a fair amount of life up there on the screen.
And Tom Cruise has gone on record saying that he wasn't giving an opinion as to whether Lee Steinberg was Jerry Maguire or not. Drew Rosenhaus has tried to take some credit. So it's interesting how all of these people want to be either Lee Steinberg or Jerry Maguire.
Well, look, it's Cameron did a brilliant job with the role. It was well acted. You know, we were able to humanize the sports agent, and it was a great experience, and I went on to do Any Given Sunday and For the Love of the Game
right.
And more movies in the future.
And of course, after that movie, you've said that people come up to you and say, show me the money at least one or two times a day.
I spoke on a panel this morning in Los Angeles on health and safety of athletes, and it happened multiple times.
You know, it's interesting because that's a lot of publicity that you had. Things were going your way. Everything was great. But if you read the book, The Agent, you see, the reader sees how things changed very quickly. You talk about living in a sober living facility, and I think that's where you met Tom Van Voorst, who's a fellow lawyer and recovering alcoholic, and he was your roommate. You walked into the place. It was furnished, and the only thing you brought in was some artsy menorah that you furnished that you put on in the condo. Is that all true? Were you that low? At one point, you said that you were in your father's room, lying in the bedroom, drinking a vodka like a baby from a large plastic bottle. That's in the book.
Well, I think I've been honest that all I could think about was more vodka. I'm now 7 years in my seventh year of sobriety.
Congratulations.
We've rebuilt our firm. You know, I'm working on a new book project. We're holding age academies across the country. We had a big draft class, and we'll continue to build very quickly.
And when you bounced back, there were a lot of people in your life, and in fact, at one point, there was someone in your life who I've been a panelist with, Amy Studi. I did a panel on substance abuse with her. I was the moderator of the panel. There are a lot of people who were trying to help you so that you could get back on your feet.
Well, that's true. She was wonderful. And as I said, if people are struggling with issues here, you don't have to do it alone. No one makes it back by themselves. I happen to have the help of wonderful kids, a wonderful extended family, wonderful friends. And so it's just exciting to be, you know, back in the swing of things over the last 3 or 4 years. And
Lee, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on now. We'll talk about Paxton Lynch. We can talk about some of these contracts, Joey Bosa not signing his, maybe Ryan Lochte, and, of course, Colin Kaepernick. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We're talking to Lee Steinberg. When we come back, we'll talk to him a little bit more about what's going on in Lee Steinberg's world. Stay tuned.
Causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, you're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. We're talking to super agent Lee Steinberg. The book is called The Agent, My 40-Year Career Making Deals and Changing the Game. Lee, now you're back in the saddle. It's called Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. You had first-round draft pick Paxton Lynch. You were representing him. How were you able to get back into the recruiting thing and get these star players on your side?
Probably the same way I've been able to do it for 42 years, which is to profile players that have a little more ambition, who have a good heart and social conscience, and to talk to them about what they can do not only to build a second career, what they can do to make an impact on the playing field, but also what they can do to help in communities and make a real difference. And no one's represented more top round draft picks. You know, we've got 8 players in the Hall of Fame. We've got some major successes, 3 players who are actual minority owners of teams. So Paxton's a very amazing kid who's values are faith, family, friendship, and football.
And he works perfectly with your theory behind being an agent. When are we going to see Paxton starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos?
You know, I'm pretty relaxed about it. There's obviously a massive adjustment process that occurs between the collegiate level and playing in the spread and then stepping up to be a pro. So the football gods smiled on us because of all the teams that could have drafted him. He went to the Super Bowl winning team
right.
with the Hall of Fame chief executive, ex-quarterback, who's a coach. So he's in wonderful shape.
Right.
And I think, you know, if you watch the Ram game tonight, you'll probably see him play a quarter.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. They don't have a quarterback who they can rely on. But sometimes you've made the wrong choices. I mean, in the book, you talk about Ryan Leaf. You were pursuing Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. You ended up with Ryan Leaf. Yikes.
thank you for pointing these things out. You put every player through the same screening process
right.
and talk with them about role modeling. Ryan had the bad luck to be caught on a piece of tape. He had the same bad luck that Ryan Lochte had, although he made his own this week, because if he yelled at a reporter, if you do something untoward and it gets caught up in the viral media cycle and it now gets observed by the public 50 times, then in someone's mind eye, Ryan Lochte didn't just have one bad day and tell a strange story. Ryan Leaf didn't yell at one reporter. They're bad people all the time. So we tried to get Ryan help. It didn't quite work. But he is now back with a new life. He's working in a rehab center, and he's a very happy fellow, and I'm excited to see him.
Well, that's great to hear. Now, what about Joey Bosa really quickly? He, of course, has not been signed by San Diego. What side do you fall on? Is this Bosa's fault or the Chargers?
It's a strange scenario because under the salary cap now, teams come forward, make the very best offer they can make right away. So he was offered a splendid contract. Not a single other player out of this whole rookie draft class is out of camp, nor was late. And so this is totally aberrational. They're fighting over very minor issues. The problem that the Chargers have is even if they're being reasonable, they have a big vote that's coming up for their new stadium and whether or not they stay in L.A. It's probably the last thing
San Diego,
you
mean? Yeah, whether they stay in San Diego or not, they may be joining the Rams up here. And, of course, you're happy the Rams are back because you were involved in keeping the Rams back in 94, and here they are back.
I couldn't be more delighted. You know, my younger kids don't even remember it, but my oldest son was there with me for the last game, and he just couldn't understand. Now, how could this team leave? It'd be like Disneyland leaving.
Yeah.
So we fought very hard, and those people who think Los Angeles is blasé about sports are just not keeping in mind the fact that the Dodgers and Angels draw, the Kings and Ducks draw, the Lakers and Clippers draw, UCLA and SC draw, and there were 90,000 really excited fans there when the Rams opened up. I fell in love with football and the L.A. Coliseum very in the 50s, and I couldn't be more excited to have him back.
I think it's great for the community. Finally, talking about the most topical issue in NFL, at least from last night, Colin Kaepernick. What is your position on this? Now, of course, you know, you're an attorney and you understand First Amendment rights, and everyone, you know, believes that people should have the right to say what they want to say. But is it right at an NFL game to be sitting down during the national anthem?
No. look, it's just a simple matter of respect. And here's the thing. We're not in the middle of the Vietnam War, okay?
Yeah.
There's no huge issues going on like that. But the point is this. When you agree to be an NFL player, you get all the largesse from big contracts, big endorsements. The fans pay for this. And you've got to be aware of public values. And there are a whole lot of ways to make political statements. You can write about it. You can show up to rallies. I don't know why he did that, but the truth of the matter is you can't offend the public conscience and then expect people to come around
and pay
huge prices for games.
I think a lot of these kids or young men have influences around them, and it causes them to act in certain ways. And, you know, there's some discussion about Colin having a girlfriend who may be a Muslim or something that may be influencing him. As an agent, didn't you have to kind of try to keep these kids in line even when they had all these other influences?
Well, yes. But again, the first thing you do is sit someone down and say, do you want to be a professional athlete? Because if you do, you're going to have to agree to certain norms of conduct. There's public, there's private. If you're in public, all your behavior is going to be scrutinized. If you don't want that, play on a sandlot. So
yeah,
prevention is always the best cure, whether it's for drunk driving, public behavior, or anything else. And if you want to express yourself in some political way, you know, go ahead and write a column.
Right. You know, that's great advice from Lee Steinberg. Unfortunately, some of the athletes do what they're going to do regardless of advice like that. Lee, before we wrap up, tell us what's next for Lee Steinberg. You have Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. What can we look forward to hearing from who the Forbes called the greatest sports agent in history?
So, thank you for that. I'm working on a new book that originally was the 12 Truths I Learned from Professional Athletes. It's virtues that I've watched over these years that are applicable in real life. I continue to tweet at Lee Steinberg. I'm writing for Forbes and Yahoo. We do agent academies where we're training young agents to come along. And we're working on an initiative for the environment, which will put new technologies into stadiums that will turn them into energy savers and also educational platforms.
Well, we want to wish you the best of luck with that. The common thread in everything that you've done is trying to help people out, trying to do the right thing, being a mensch, which I think your father would be proud of. Lee Steinberg, thank you for being on Gervie's Law today.
It's been my pleasure.
Okay, take care. Mom, you're still here. Come up to the microphone. I thought you might have fallen asleep.
No, it was very interesting. I was listening.
Yeah, I mean, can you believe that? Look at the ups and downs. What is life about? It's crazy how you can be at the very top and the very bottom and somewhere in between. You just never know.
No, you have to be lucky. And
so you think it's all luck? Should I have told Lee that it was just luck that got him where he was?
Got him back.
But what about,
you know, people and agencies and social workers who help you through the tough times?
Yeah, but what about you? You know, how you comport yourself, conduct your business and everything.
What business?
You don't have any business?
Not right now.
Being retired. You know, but it comes down to a personal decisions that you make. I mean, haven't you had decisions in your life where you just don't know what to do and maybe made the right or wrong decision?
I think everybody has. You try to do the best you can, and you hope for the best.
Yeah.
And for family, too.
So when you consider everything we talked about today with Lee Steinberg, and you look at your life and other people's lives, what message would you give to someone as they go through life with all these ups and downs? You're looking at me like, go get the heck out of here. She's had enough of me. What is your message?
I don't know. Just live life one day at a time and think positive.
That's excellent. Wow. That's excellent advice. Live your life one day at a time and think positive. And don't let little things bring you down. I mean, I don't think that's something that is new. Everyone knows that. But when you hear about these stories of Lee Steinberg and others, last week John Henry Brown, all of the demons that people deal with, you're not alone out there. You know, people in the limelight, people not in the limelight, they are dealing with a lot of problems. Life is difficult. And if you have the right attitude, you can get through it.
Just say, be strong.
Be strong.
Carry on.
Be strong and carry on. Evelyn Gervie's words of wisdom, be strong and carry on. Mom, I want to thank you for being with us, and I really enjoyed my last 2 weeks. Carrie will be back at our next show. She is going to be back in town, so I'm looking forward to that. But I really enjoyed having you as my co-host.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Yeah, on behalf of Nancy, my wife, and my kids, Hudson and Harper, they've loved you
and
being here.
I love being with them. I miss them all the time.
They love you. They adore you. So many people adore you. So
why fight it?
Why fight it? I want everyone to have a great week. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. Mom, have a safe trip back to Toronto.
Thank you.
Alan Gervie. And this has been Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. You ain't seen nothing yet.
The best is yet to come. This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.